It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me now, if you will, over to the little book of Jonah as we continue our Bible study now through these four chapters in the book of Jonah. Again, while you're turning there, let me remind you that Jonah chapter 1 pictures Jonah running away from God, Jonah running to God in chapter 2, and then chapter 3 we find Jonah running with God, and then in chapter 4 we find Jonah running ahead of God. Now, as we continue on, let us go here to the first chapter here of the book of Jonah. And as we have found last week, here in verse 16, we amplified upon this a little. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They had taken Jonah up, cast him forth into the sea, and it ceased from her raging. Now the men prior to that had cast their wares away, cast forth their wares in verse 5. And we find this now is an illustration here in typology of the substitutionary death of another in order to bring peace within the believer themselves. Other words, you cannot work for your salvation. You cannot do anything for it at all. For the Bible emphatically, from Genesis to Revelation, continues to tell us it will not be by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy has he saved us. So then we find that Jonah was cast overboard, and then in chapter 2, or I should say, let's back up one verse, the last verse of chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I want to read several verses here in chapter 2, and then we're going to approach this from three different aspects. In verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. And then in verse 4 and 5, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again to thine holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. Weeds were wrapped about me, or my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Should be actually, the word bottoms there actually is the Greek word means roots of the mountains. And the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God, or O Jehovah my Elohim. Now, we're going to stop there because we're going to approach this first of all this morning from a salvational viewpoint, and showing here the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that there is salvation in none other than Christ. Then we're going to look at it from the doctrinal aspect, the fact of where actually did Jonah go, and look at the various places in Hades and show you the mistranslation by the King James Bible when it translated the word Hades, Sheol, as hell. And then we're going to look at it from the spiritual aspect, other words, from the backslidden condition. So we'll begin this morning here and approach it from the salvation point, because all three of these lessons here are taught within this chapter. Now, when the Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by the whale, it is a type of the Lord Jesus. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12. Let us go over here, if you will, and begin to see here the fact that Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Now, there are so many trying to say, well, if we can find a fish large enough in order to swallow Jonah, then we will believe what the Bible says. When we were in Bible college down in Florida, when I, going through Bible college, I pastored a church, a small Baptist church, over on Marco Island. That was there over on the West Coast. And over there, I remember many times I have seen sharks that have been dead or some of the fishermen and men had brought in that literally would be no problem at all swallowing a man. And some of the whales that we have in the water, there would be no problem for a whale swallowing a man. But then the idea comes in, well, can a man live within sight of that whale? Well, that is not so. There are many fish that could swallow a man, but the point is not the fact, do we have a fish big enough? That's not the point at all. In fact, one man said, do you really believe that whale swallowed Jonah? The guy said, I've never found anything wrong with the Bible yet from Genesis to Revelation. I'd believe it if God said Jonah swallowed the whale, you know. Well, of course, that isn't true. But we come over here now, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Follow along with me, if you will. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And we find out here, just as Jonah was in the whale's body here, he had to be cast over in order for there to come peace here upon those who were lost. Now hold your place here and go with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. Let us turn in our Bibles here to Isaiah chapter 53, and we find that Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find that the Bible tells us all the way through there is no salvation outside of Christ. Absolutely none. And yet, we are in this time period that we're in, right before the rapture of the church. And folks, I have never heard or seen as much garbled up salvation preaching in my life as I have here in the last 4 or 5 years. I've never seen it. And yet it seems like it is salvation plus something. It is salvation if you do this. Now, if you have salvation, you must do this. And one thing or another, and it is no wonder. And I view it as a pastor's viewpoint. It's no wonder people are confused. They go to one church, get one message. Go to another church, get another message. They look at Billy Graham on television. Billy Graham says at his meetings, if you want to be saved, come forward. Turns right to those in the radio television, says, if you want to be saved, then you, right where you sit, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, anybody in their right mind, why does one have to go down? Why does one be saved here? Another, and you turn on television, and that person says, you know what? Now, if you're really saved, you know, really saved, not just a head belief now, but boy, if you really got it, then you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit of God and speak in tongues. And then we come along to another church says, you know what? If you're just not baptized, you're just not saved, because you're baptized into the body of Christ. And applying that to water baptism, not spiritual baptism. And you begin to see all these things and hear all these things. Is it any wonder that a person is confused? Honestly speaking, it's a wonder anybody gets saved today with the garbled up messages that you have coming from all the shotguns that Satan is firing and confusing the simple message of salvation, which is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Where do you find that simple message anymore? Now, I'm not saying, do not misunderstand, and I'm not implying that Faith Baptist Church is the only one that preaches that message. We are not. We are many fine churches around that preach that message. But I'm talking about the churches of Satan that has a garbled up message. Is it any wonder anybody saved? Let's go here to Isaiah chapter 53 now, if you will. And concerning, it took the death of a substitute in order to save those that were alive. Now, you know what? It takes a substitute for you. In Isaiah chapter 53, we find out it wasn't a pleasant thing. But we find out in Isaiah chapter 53, notice in verse 2 and 3 concerning the Lord Jesus, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. No beauty in the Lord Jesus, as speaking physically, of course. And he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down, took on human flesh to be our substitute, so that the wages of sin is death, and we wouldn't have to die and pay that death in hell for ourselves. And God said, I love the world so much, I'll send a substitute. I do not want you to go to hell, that I gave my only begotten Son. And whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in Isaiah chapter 53, we go right on up here to verse 5, which is the whole context here. And Jonah is a type of this. He went down and he had to die so the men could be saved. Before the sea and the tempest would be stilled, there had to be the death and the substitute of another, the one who was innocent. And of course, the Lord Jesus was. He was God incarnated in human flesh. And then in verse 5, we find, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That means he took our transgressions. He was wounded for us. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Then the Lord says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And yet we hear today so many times that salvation is faith in Christ plus something, faith in Christ plus unite with the church, faith in Christ plus you've got to do this or you've got to do that, and if you really have saving faith, you are going to lead the Christian life. And that isn't true. It is God's will, but it isn't true. We have a lot of Christians who are saved who are not separated, leading the separated life. We'll be speaking on that here in the next two Sundays here as we approach it from that aspect also here. As Jonah, we will apply him as a backslidden Christian. We'll look at it from that angle. We're taking it from three angles. One salvation, one doctrinally, and another from service, our responsibility to God. But on salvation this morning, the Lord said here that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And it took the death of Jonah, a type of Christ, in order to save those men, just as there is no church that died to pay for your sin. There is no water that ever shed its blood to pay for your sin. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no remission of sins. And then we find here where God said, all of our sins and our iniquities here, we're all like sheep that have gone astray. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and salvation is in him, the Lord Jesus, not in anyone else. We go to John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, and we find out over there there were a group of men that came and said, Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And he answered, he knew that, look, you can't do anything to work your way. I'm not going to tell you if you do this or do that one thing or another, but what shall we do? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now another man came to the Lord Jesus, and he proposed he wanted to go to heaven by good works too. And I'd like to take you, if you will, in the Bible. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 19, if you will. And I want to examine this here because we're speaking in the aspect here of Jonah, a type of Christ. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. When the Lord Jesus died, his body was buried, but he went to the paradise side of Hades in the center of the earth. He was there 3 days, three nights. He came back, united with that resurrected body, walked on this earth 40 days, ascended back from the Mount of Olives in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, gave commandment unto the disciples there, said, you wait now until the descent of the Holy Spirit. That was 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. Salvation is in a person, not a church, not a body of water, not your good deeds, because if you could do any kind of meritorious works to merit favor with God, then Christ would never have had to die. Now let's go over here to Matthew chapter 19, if you will. We begin to look over here. Here came a young ruler, a young rich ruler here. And notice here, if you will, in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now the Lord met him. The Lord did not propose good works, but the Lord answered him according to his proposal in order to show him, look, you want good works to get to heaven. You can't do them. You don't have them. You can't do them. And then the Lord said here unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now remember, it wasn't God's idea to do this. He never said to do that, to have life. But he answered the man, said, fine, if what good thing shall you do to have eternal life? Fine, if you want to propose it, then let me give it to you to show you how ridiculous it is. You've condemned yourself. And then we go on down here into verse 18. He saith, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou that love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Now the man was a liar. I've never seen a youth yet honor his father and his mother, always 100%. I've never seen it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I have never seen that 100% ever since you've reached the age of accountability in your youth, that you have had that kind of love and never had any resentment, never had any arguments, never had any disagreements, always loved that neighbor as much as you love yourself. Impossible. I don't know of any man that's ever done that since they have been a youth. And then a young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? The Lord knew the young man was lying. So then he goes on down to hit him where it really counts. And Jesus said unto him, then if thou wilt be perfect, you think you're perfect, You then go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come follow me. Now he knew where this man's heart was because he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And he said, young man, you go ahead and sell all that you have. Now you just said that you love your neighbor as thyself. And if that's true, you should have already went and shared with that neighbor that doesn't have anything. But you didn't do it. And you won't do it now after I propose it. But you just lied to me and you said, when I said love thy neighbor as thyself, you told me you have from your youth up. But if you really had, then that love would have activated you to share some of the things you got, and you would have shared with your neighbor. So that proves when you refuse to do it now and it's brought to a head that you are not telling the truth to begin with. And then he goes on down, but when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, if he would have really loved his neighbor as himself, and remember this young man said he did. He said, all these things have I done from my youth up. Well, what lack I yet? But he was not honest with himself, and the Lord knew his thoughts and intents of his heart, and the Lord gave him another thing to really put his back to the wall, and he failed the test. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, what? Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now keep in mind here, when the Lord is speaking here, what is involved here in the situation. The whole point of the whole situation is, remember this, the man wanted to go to heaven, what good thing shall I do? Christ put him to the test, he didn't have it. And then he uses the illustration here that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Other words, by your good works that you claim to have, it would be easier for a camel literally to go through the eye of a needle. I know many refer to this to the little inner gate of the gate in Jerusalem there, but I believe it's very literal because if you recall now, it's impossible to go to heaven by your good works, illustrated by this man here. He claimed to have, what good thing shall I do? He did not have good works. It is impossible because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, since we are not as righteous as God, it is absolutely impossible for any man to ever go to heaven on his good works. Then we go here in verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, then who in the world can be saved? And Jesus answered and beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible. Get that, I'd underline this in your Bible. It is absolutely impossible as it is for a large camel to go through the eye of a regular sewing needle, as it would be for a rich man trusting now, not just the rich man, but a rich man trusting in his good works to go to heaven. With men, this is impossible. And then he goes on down here then, answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then going back to the book of Hebrews, now remember this again in Hebrews 9:22. The Bible says here, without the shedding, almost all things are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I hope you're not trusting your church to get you to heaven. I hope you're not trusting your infant baptism. That did not have anything to do. In fact, infants are never told to even be baptized. Baptism is not for infants at all. Baptism is for believers who have at least reached the age of accountability and who have by their own intelligence understand the gospel, how that Christ died and he was buried. He rose again the third day. And when they put their faith and trust in him, baptism is only for believers who have reached the age of accountability and know what they are doing, realize they're a sinner, and have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people are commanded to be baptized as a testimony to those that are watching. Infants are never. That's the biggest misconception ever given by any church, is to baptize infants. You couldn't find it in the Bible if you tried. It is absolutely meaningless to baptize an infant. In fact, it is a damnable doctrine because it leads the parents to believe it had something to do with saving that child. Then when the child grows up and has been told they have been infant baptized, they have the conception that it has something to do with them going to heaven. And you have a damnable doctrine, the doctrine of infant baptism. What a doctrine it is, contrary to the Word, a doctrine foreign to the Word of God. Salvation is in a person, not infant baptism, not joining a church, not self-righteousness as this young ruler wanted to do, but as Jonah did, he realized that he had to be cast over, and he did. And the men realized that, and it took the substitute of another to save their life and to calm the tempest and the storm. You may be having something raging in you that is unsettled, and it never will be, even though you go to church. It'll only be settled by a person. His name is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you'll put your faith in Christ this morning, and that's what this illustrates and typifies in Jonah. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for your sin, and he said, all that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out, and he said, I'll give you everlasting life. That's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We hope that you'll write us. If you request some of the books or just drop us a line, let us know you're listening. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.